You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening. Welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys live and dangerous on Twitter. I've already fucked it up once. Played the wrong intro music. Apologies for that. Jake's away. I think he's live tweeting Broncos getting beaten somewhere on the first day of the season. Evening, Jake, if you're listening. But I've got the other two Pratts with me. So good evening, George. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Not too bad. And good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Obviously, I know we did the live pod last Friday, but you've had a very, very interesting couple of weeks, haven't you? A big life changing.
Three weeks, mate. She'll be 3 weeks on Sunday morning at 2:54. Yeah, I'm all right. Every day feels like a major milestone. If I do run off halfway through, it's because she's screaming about something. It's going all right. This week's not been too bad. So, baby steps. Pardon the pun, but we're getting there. Getting lots of good advice from you, Rick.
Well, yeah, I mean, probably not the advice you should take, but welcome to my world, mate. You'll see the chaos, won't you? And, you know, the interruptions. This is what it's all about.
I had a minor incident the other day. I've already told you this story, but I'll tell George and anyone else who's listening. I had a poo. So she pooed in a nappy.
What, you had one?
No, I didn't have a poo. So she'd obviously gone in the nappy, took the nappy off, and then like all hell broke loose, basically, like everywhere, like full outfit change, change. And then as soon as she started, like, as soon as I cleaned up, she started peeing again. So scream for help, because it wasn't going
very
well.
Sounds like Rick last night after his curry.
But no, all right, mate. Thank you. Getting there.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah,
George Wright. I mean,
we probably a good time to bring that in. We went for a curry last night, didn't we, Rick?
We did. Fantastic. I've never been before. I can't believe I've not. But yeah, world class. Paddy Martin's, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very good. We went with the New York Foxes, which was good fun. We did.
Great to meet them.
And you've been to the toilet about how many times since then?
It's been a very, very, very unpleasant day for me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Woke up at 2 a.m. Didn't mean to, but was woken up and didn't have a lot of notice. And then pretty much from then on, it's been, it's been bad, but wouldn't change it.
Yeah. No, wouldn't change it for the world. I had salt and pepper fish again today. It was incredible.
What, you've been there again?
No, I've got a takeaway. I got a takeout.
Okay.
You got the first question.
It was,
Rick,
very good.
How many tins have you had tonight, Rick?
I've had a bottle of Prosecco and now I'm on vodka and blackcurrant squash.
Liz is away, isn't she?
I've had a very bad day at work.
So low.
Really bad day at work for me.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was that?
Yeah, just not getting on well at the minute. Struggling with me days. So,
was the Prosecco leftover Christmas gift?
Yeah, that's pretty much the last. That's why I'm on vodka and squash as well. So I've not even got any bloody proper mixers anymore. It's desperate, but
there we go.
I was keen to have a drink, but I finished work bang on 10, and I'm representing the brand. Oh.
Yeah,
nice brew. Thought wait till tomorrow instead.
I've been doing that a lot actually. When it gets to about 5 o'clock and like we've survived, I've been pouring myself a pint, which is
what, in your big strong Leicester Boys mug?
No, not in my big strong Leicester Boys.
Except a little half a bitter in that.
No, I've been doing that, but I need to. I've decided that's a bad habit. So yeah.
Don't worry about it, mate. Go easy on yourself for the first 4 years. Drink every day.
It's quite tempting, isn't it?
I used to have a hot toddy.
I'm 8 years in and I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of them, Rick? Hot toddy?
Yeah.
Used to have them quite regularly. Just a cup of tea, bit of whiskey in there.
Nice,
mate. Milk.
Yeah, very smart. I got into me fruit teas, but then I was accidentally lacing them with booze and I thought that defeats the object, doesn't it? So
that was meant to be like cleansing, aren't they?
Anyway,
what's the agenda, Rick? Are we doing the games first?
Yeah, well, I think we should first touch on last Friday, obviously, our pod that we did with Guillaume Balaguer.
Yeah,
I mean,
top
load. It was great to do, but literally blown away with everyone's feedback on it. I know, like, we've obviously had some good comments in the past about stuff, but
we can blow our own trumpet here. Rick, let's just blow our own trumpet.
No, genuinely, like the amount of people that have reached out and said, like, that was such an interesting episode. We got it right in the way that we sort of asked the questions and were being our usual prats and taking over. And it genuinely was like listening to it. I was like spellbound how he was sort of coming out with the stuff. It's not that I didn't expect it, but it was really insightful. I thought he could have just given the usual spiel, but really, really good. So thank you to everyone that's fed back. I do feel now, though, that we've set the bar so high, I don't know where we go from here, on like guests and stuff. I think we've got to step it up ourselves, haven't we? With a few.
We'll figure it out. It was good. Games. It was good, and it was your soberest live show, Rick. Mm. So maybe
I didn't even have a. Did I even have a proper pint? I think I was on the.
No, you were
on the non-alcoholics.
Yeah.
And I actually arranged it. It was me who sorted it, which was like, bearing in mind, I'm about as efficient as a bloody piece of wet bog roll.
So, like my dad, because obviously I put the comment up about my. So my dad does not give out praise lightly, said it was brilliant, and he's always got a point of contention. And then he was like, who organised that? And I was like, Rick. He was like, no, he didn't. I was like, no, he did.
In my own circle, literally just sent Guillaume a message on Twitter. Yeah. Just literally.
But did you send him a message five times? Because that was his rule, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The fifth one you responded to.
Yeah, but Rick's also lined up another guest as well. He's on fire at the minute.
Who have you got?
Was that the geezer who's coming on to
pontificate
about Rudkin?
Performance measure. Performance measure, director of finance.
Really, that was probably if I want to analyse my own performance from last Friday, really let myself down with that. Because it was a good question for Guillaume.
It wasn't a question, though, was it?
It was amusing. It was amusing that I wanted him to sort of pick the bones out of.
Flair mused.
And then I scuppered it with a director of finance.
And you got your words the wrong way around, I think.
Pronunciated me worms, didn't they, George?
It's interesting because Guillaume's obviously mates of Enzo, but I don't think he's as exposed to the history of our director of football as we are. So, and obviously neither is Enzo. So I'm sure we'll find out in the next 6 to 8 months how that pans out.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Talking of which, on a side note, Stefano Sensi is out for a month. Yeah, because he's having a plate removed.
His ankle.
Yeah, to be fair, I presume he's probably thought, right, well, I'm not going to play now between now and June, so I'll get that done rather than having it done in the summer and potentially missing pre-season. So, but it was quite funny to read that because it's like, wow.
Yeah, just our luck.
No, one for Rudkin, that it'll be like, yeah, I knew that. I'll stop that.
Yeah, knew that.
Knew that all along.
Well done, John.
Why didn't sign him? It's very good. Anything more on the live show, Jordan? Anything you want to add on the live show?
No, I thought it was really good. And the feedback was obviously brilliant as well. Broadly speaking, we've never really had any negative feedback, which I'm not advocating.
Don't get any ideas.
Yeah, I'm not advocating, but it's brilliant that everyone's so nice. And I mean, I've worked with Guillaume before, so maybe I didn't realise the gravitas that he has.
He's got a million followers on Twitter.
Yeah, he's a really down-to-earth guy, Guillaume. And obviously, he's renowned for his Spanish football work. So to see him kind of not covering Leicester, but obviously, he's mates of Enzo, so it's pretty bizarre, really, to see that. So yeah, he's a good bloke, Guillaume. We could call him a friend of the show. No doubt we'll get him back on at some point as well.
We've got a plan. So there are tickets still available for his Do With Enzo at the Chutney Ivy. As well, and he asked us to plug that again this week, so here's our plug for you. We've won twice since then, so we're still very much on track for that being the week after we get promoted, so there we go.
When's he prompted that? So it's, what was it, first week of April? Was it?
I still think that's
a bit early.
It's a big week. This time next week, we'll know the Leeds result. So, it's a big game, isn't it? So yeah. Where should we start then? Watford? You want to talk Watford?
I suppose we should kind of do a double whammy.
Double whammy, Jordan. You were in and around Watford for most of Saturday, I gather.
Yeah, nearly ended up missing the last train somehow. I was obviously getting carried away with the rugger, mate.
Yeah,
you know, I love my rugger.
Yeah, I know you do like your rugby.
Did you wear what were you wearing down there? Did you have Winkle pickers on or?
Yeah, but a gilet, shit flickers, and some flared jeans on.
Good.
And to be fair, I was going to go to Twickers, but I just not got enough loyalty points, mate, so I couldn't get a ticket, which is a shame.
Do you want to give us any insight on the game, or do you just want to rant a little bit more about rugby?
Well, we scored a few tries, didn't we? Oh, you're on about the rugby. You're on about the football. I thought we were all right again. I mean, we scored early. It was at the other end of the pitch, so I didn't know whether the penalty, and watching Rick's extended highlights, they only showed one
That was a pen.
You think it was a pen? Okay, if it was a pen, it was a pen. But, you know, once we got the early goal, we just sucked the life out of it. And that's absolutely fine by me. The second goal was just a work of art, though. And, you know, Enzo said in his interview with Percy, which we might come on to, which was really good, but he said we're only going to get better. And I think we've seen that in the last two games, because the second goal against Sheffield Wednesday was fantastic as well. And, you know, real patient to get through the press. And once we did, I mean, Ricardo Pereira, I've raved about him last season, I think. He's a right-back playing centre-mid. He's that good. I think he could play anywhere in this league. I don't know
if he is. Next season. He is playing anywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just
basically.
He's unbelievable.
Player of the season now for me.
And then Winksy, it took him 30 games. Hello, Mayan. Good to have you on, mate. Winksy, it took him 30 games to give the ball away, isn't it? And he got punished, but yeah, not a problem. And then Wednesday, I thought first half, that's probably the quickest we've started and the best we've been in the first half all season. And then second half, I felt like that was an element of energy conservation, shall we say, because the game was won. I mean, like I say, the second goal was wonderful. Fez has been pinging them all season, those kind of passes, the diagonal ball and lovely cushioned pass from Kiernan and old school finish from Vardy. And like Rick says, these are collector's items now, although we might have him for one more year. But even so, save Yannick. Every moment.
You say Yannick?
No, JV. JV might be getting and then my mate is a Wednesday fan. He messaged me after he came up from London. And he said I think that's the most one-sided first half he said he's ever seen. It could have been about 6-0, which I thought was probably a bit too much. But, yeah, very much keep ticking them off. I expect the same tomorrow. The one thing I do think with the Wednesday game, I think it'll be the same tomorrow. I think it'll be the same against Leeds. Those players will definitely be frustrated that those are the sides that have taken points off and or beaten them earlier this season, and they'll be hell-bent on getting 3 points tomorrow and against Leeds as well. They won't want any team to do the double over them or even take points off them again. So I thought we saw that against Wednesday. Like I say, Watford was a very professional display in terms of just getting in and away in and out of Watford with 3 points. And then, like I say, on Tuesday against Wednesday, first half, we looked really in the mood and looked like a team that not only want to go up but want to win the league and get the points record as well. So no complaints yet again.
That's all very straightforward, isn't it? Yeah. What did you make of it, Rick? How were your extended highlights looking?
Well, Watford, yeah, it was a funny one, weren't it? We started well. It was a penalty for me. It was actually a good little check inside from Pratt, which he's done before. That's one of his signature moves. I'll come on to him in his performance first half against Sheffield Wednesday, which I thought was excellent. But that's one of his strengths, is he does check back. I think he did it against Leeds at home last season as well when we scored, and hopefully he'll do the same at Elland Road. But, we started very well against Watford. That we toiled in that game. I mean, the goal from Ricardo as a team goal, one of the best of the season, and it actually came from us nearly losing the ball, which was very similar to the Vardy goal against Sheffield Wednesday. Whether it's we've nearly lost the ball or it's the ultimate play, isn't it, where you've enticed the opposition on and then you've created that extra little bit of space that's the difference. But both goals were fantastic to see and completely go against our notion that we're a laborious, boring, ultra-safe team. Both goals were pretty ruthless and direct and on the counter-attack. The Watford game should have been out of sight, shouldn't we, in the sense that at 2-0, you wouldn't have expected them to come back into it and then it'd be quite as nervy, but it was. Hermansson made two amazing saves, and we didn't really create that much more after that to score again, so you could argue it was a little bit more tight than it should have been. The Sheffield Wednesday game, that first half, we've had some unbelievable performances, and we've also scored earlier than 4 minutes, believe it or not. But we went ahead, and then rather than us sit back and not really take our chances, we were really, really good. Second half, I don't know whether we did conserve energy second half against Sheffield Wednesday. I'd say we actually had to run more second half than we did in the first half because they came at us. We struggled to deal with that in the first 15 minutes or so. I don't think we retained the ball as well as we ordinarily would. So there was probably a little bit more running, but it's understandable. You know, we were 2-0 up. We were comfortable. They came at us a little bit. They were never really going to cause us too much trouble. So it was one of those where we were playing within ourselves. And that's fine. When you're playing, you know, three games a week, you're not going to do that performance in the first half and then go and do it again and win 6-7-0. Okay, we did against Stoke. It was nice to finally put a team properly to the sword, but I've not really got many issues with that Sheffield Wednesday second half performance. Other than a couple of individual performances that I was a little bit unhappy with. McAteer, when he came on, I'm trying my hardest to be really encouraging about McAteer, but he's not a winger. We've said this quite a lot on this podcast. I mean, Jack, you even wanted him to play up front, and I'm not against that. You know, I wanted Harry Suter to play up there, so I'm down for that shit, but he's definitely not a winger. And you had to see Enzo give him a right bollocking because he just won't go down the line. He'll go back always. As an eight, I think it's slightly easier for him because he hasn't always got to go forward. And he retains the ball okay. He works well. He's just not a winger. But I know we've not got an abundance of options. But, that's on Enzo more than McAteer himself, bless him. But whether, I mean, you know how much I love Will Alves, but he should be the backup winger if Albrighton's not around. Albrighton should be back for the weekend, so get him on the bench. But yeah, McAteer's a concern for me. And then Yunus, he finally bit of end product in the couple of games, and then he's vanished.
Yeah, there's a clause there, isn't there?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, there's a clause that you that they don't want to pay. But there we go.
We can still play him for seven games or eight games, though. I mean,
depends what is in the clause, because we obviously don't know. So it might be a bit more complicated than it's made out. And it also, if he's holding him back, it might give him a bit more of a chance to play at the end of the season when there's, you know, when he's got everyone fit, he may as well not use him because he doesn't need to use him at the moment, does he?
But he might need to use him at some stage. I mean, what will the player be thinking? He must be reading between the lines and say, right, they're tucking me up here.
Yeah, clearly.
So,
clearly.
And then, you know, in 2 months' time, we decide to give him a couple of games. Well, like to maintain the intensity and mentality for that's difficult because he knows he's going back.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the Dennis Pratt situation. I know we haven't got that nuance other than we know he's fucking off in the summer, thankfully. But he's now first choice. And it's like, you're relying on someone.
He's been all right, though, Dennis.
I don't mind
a bit of Dennis. So.
In fact, if anything, that reminds me from what I said about Watford. His performance first half against Sheffield Wednesday was
very
unreal.
Very good.
And he goes down that channel well, doesn't he?
He should have had an assist because he just overhit the pass. Like, that should have made it 3-0.
Expected assist
was 0.98
for that.
Was that
it?
Chance?
I just made that up.
Bizarrely, I think that chance, Pratt didn't think he had any time.
He
had loads of time. He could have took a touch, shot, or passed to Vardy. But I think because he's been playing at higher levels, he's barely played this season, has he?
Yeah.
If he played more games, he would have realised, I've got so much time.
He must have
thought like it was in the Prem or international level. It's like, I'm going to get closed down here. I can't have this much space in the box.
It was such a good chance. The entire cop was stood up, which doesn't happen very often.
It's because they were all on the way out.
It's like game over.
His hair at the minute.
Pratt.
Okay.
He's gone for a bit of a send. He's gone for little curtains, little late 90s curtains. Have a look. Okay.
Is that a bit Russell Martin-esque? I don't want to talk about Russell.
Actually, you're right. Yeah, no, it's a bit more natural.
Jake's going a bit curtainsy. Yeah. Well, he's had a bit more slick back in it, so it's not quite the
not curtains. It's a classic, really.
Well,
beef curtains.
Fucking hell.
Sorry, apologies.
I'll put an ad in at that point. Apologies. Apologies for anyone listening live. I have a few bits to add. Watford, I wanted to talk about Patson Daka, who's scored again. He's become a very reliable penalty taker. There was one bit where he did about three tackles chasing back. And he's first choice now, isn't he? He got rested the 100%. Other day. He's been unbelievable. I think he starts tomorrow. Rick, there's a few comments I'm not going to put up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like you've upset a few listeners. So
I know. I'm sorry.
I think you Rick, forget
to sometimes live now. I think out loud. Sorry, I'm genuinely really sorry. And the thing is, we don't have the benefit of being able to edit this now. I mean, that's fine. I own it. I do apologise. It ain't that bad.
Anyway, on to back to Pat.
Hello, Pat.
Hello, Pat.
I love that. It's one of my favourite feel-good moments of the season, him calling him Pat.
Just Enzo just calls him Pat. there was an interview in your parish, wasn't there, George? From friend is Rob a friend of the show? Can we call Rob a friend of the show?
He's never been on, but he's a friend of the show, isn't he?
He's a friend of the show. He's written a comment on the show. But there was a good interview with him. Seems like a good lad, Patson. Just sort of he thinks that we're a better player if we go up, which I agree with. I think he's a good player. I think there's a good player in there.
I'm with you, Jack. I've never understood the Daka hate, to be honest. He's got the one thing that defenders absolutely hate, and that is pace. And he's a decent finisher. And again, I think you forget, like, in a struggling team, you're in and out of the team last season or barely had a kick. A striker is just all about confidence. I think you said the other day, Rick, I don't know if it was about Pat, but he's a definition of a confidence player.
When he first came here. That's what I'm seeing again now.
And he scored four in that game in Moscow because he was absolutely flying. Everything he hit was going in. And I was joking when I was at Glasgow earlier in the year. I said, I don't matter. We've got Daka, who'll get 40 in this division. And I'm beginning to think I might have been right if he played every week, because what's he on now? Seven or eight?
Seven or eight in about eight games. His record in the Premier League's not that bad, because I looked this up. He's played the equivalent of something like 26 or 27 like full games, because he's obviously been come off and been sub. And he scored 9 goals and 7 assists. So
not bad. Though, and there's a he's definitely still got to step it up. Like, I'm a massive fan. I mean, I'm again was vilified because when we signed him, I think I said he would be in the top three best strikers in Europe in 18 months.
You the hot take, doesn't it? Like you.
But he does still need to step it up even when we go back up, because one thing I've noticed with him, his record away from home for us is appalling. Yes, he got 4 in Moscow, but if you actually look at the goals he scored, I think, has he got 1 this season away from home? It's a penalty at Watford. And you look at all the goals he scored away in the Premier League, barely any. He's a home man.
He's got a Brighton. He's got a Brighton.
Did he? Yeah. All right. Yeah. One. No, he has got a few, but what I mean is overwhelming. I think that he needs to be a bit more versatile. Like, a lot of his goals are tap-ins, fine, don't mind that. Penalties, fine, he's a great penalty taker. His off-the-ball stuff at the minute has improved no end. Like, I never thought he could hold the ball up well. Mm-hmm. And maybe going back into the Premier League, he might struggle again. But he's definitely improved under Enzo, and it's the striker that we need. That We were saying, weren't we, what type of striker thrives in this system? We actually didn't really know. But I think he's
a good one.
Well, yeah, but it's more than that, isn't it? Because you can't just be able to hold the ball up and finish. You've got to do much more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's the closest to that. I love him. Brilliant. I mean, he looks a lot quicker as well.
He looks quicker without the ball than with the ball. He's not necessarily a quick quick dribbler, but without the ball, he's rapid. Well,
that run for the penalty against Swansea. That again, sometimes with him, I felt he was too caught in indecision on what to do, which again is a lack of confidence. Whereas now he's a bit more, I'll go for it. And that when you've got pace, then you look quick, don't you? If you're not, you suddenly, you know, he was nutmegging himself a season ago because he didn't really know what to do with it, and he was dribbling him all over the place. But yeah, no, brilliant. And I feel like we did miss him a little bit against Sheffield Wednesday, even though I thought Vardy had a good game. We still missed that link play and then the pace in behind.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, Rick. I definitely agree with all of that. But if you think the way Enzo plays, a lot of the time the striker has to drop quite deep to get the ball off the goalkeeper. And for a striker to face their own goal probably 30, 40 yards out is very uncomfortable. And I think he's got a lot better at that. And next season, we're also not going to have as much of the ball. I mean, certainly in away games and against the bigger sides. And that front three, the pace of Dakar and Fatawu, and then Mavididi on the left, is going to be frightening on the break. And I just think as a team, we look miles better with Dakar in it. And I know we mentioned Cannon briefly. I think he's got all the tools to be a Premier League goal scorer, but I'm not sure. I still think Dakar's the better option. And then, interestingly, Vardy's got 11 in all comps this season, which is joint top.
Yeah, he took the goal well the other night. I think I worked out when Dakar started for us in something like, I think there's only two games when he started, we've not scored more than three goals. So it's something like, I think it's like seven games we scored more than three goals, and we've only done that like 11 or 12 times this season. I worked it out last Saturday, but he has definitely made us a much more potent side. The other player I wanted to talk about, not just because I want him to grow his hair back, but I thought he was very good on Wednesday. I thought we missed him against Watford, was Yannick, because there were three or four occasions on was it Wednesday night or Tuesday? I can't remember what day it is. On Tuesday night, we played Wednesday on Tuesday. That's why I'm confused. Where he just sort of like swayed round like a Wednesday player, and he looked like he had so much more time than anyone else. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal, and he was pinging it around, and we just looked a much better side with him in it. And then the news comes out about him getting a new contract, and I'm like, yeah, because I don't think you find a centre back who is as good on the ball as him very easily. And you might go, well, he's not very quick, but if Vestergaard was quick, like the way he's playing at the moment, I'm probably getting a bit carried away, but like, if he's quick, he's basically Van Dijk, isn't he? I thought that the other day. I haven't had much sleep, so like that.
I'm interested for Jord's view, because at the start, like 2 months into the season, Jord still weren't having him. I'll let him answer this, and then I'll come in
Okay. Well, he's been brilliant this season. You can't deny that. I don't think he's good enough for the Premier League based on the way we played before and his performances before. But that said, if we have a deep block, as they call it these days, which means park the bus, let's be honest. If we have a deep block, his pace is going to be less of a factor. And if we keep the ball, he's very good on the ball. And him and Fez have got a very good partnership. So the new contract, I think you have to offer him a new contract given the season he's had under the new manager and the new regime. Whether or not it's on the same terms, I'd be interested.
It probably won't be on the same terms, will it?
And then the ball's in his court. But said, I think it's time now to admit, sadly, and I'm a big fan, and he'll go and play somewhere probably for a team that comes down, I would have thought. I think it's time to admit the Cody move has backfired. And I don't think it's through anybody's fault. It's just one of them typical Leicester signings that's just not worked. And we all thought, had Cody not got injured, he'd probably be starting every game and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But I think that they need to move Cody on at the end of the season. And from what I've been told, things might not be all rosy in the garden behind the scenes with that. So that makes sense. Nelson looks good.
Nelson's very good, doesn't he?
He does. And whether or not he's going to be third or fourth choice in a Prem side is interesting. But I think there you've got three centre half and you need another one. I don't think Suter, I think Suter's got to go, Rick. Sorry.
That's fair enough.
But Enzo came out and said, to build on this, Enzo came out and said something quite interesting because he said we need to play like with someone that's quick, which I think is why he plays Justin all the time now. And he said Connor's not quick. He said Callum's not quick and Yannick's not quick. So
neither's fast.
I don't think fast is quick, but
no, he's not.
Like he looked very slow in the Prem, but I think like if we do go up, we need to sign someone with pace to play with him potentially, or you play well out in the middle. Don't think he's quite as good on the ball, but there we go. So maybe. You agree with me basically then? He's Van Dijk without pace.
Not quite. Yeah. They'd be my three centre backs going into next season anyway. And if you sign Doyle, you could arguably count him as a left footed centre back.
I'm not sure you'd sign Doyle.
Well, my Coventry City supporting friend couldn't believe we didn't play him centre half. He was astounded that we played him fullback. So I'd say
he's left side of a back three, though, really, isn't he? Like, that's
it's a weird position, it's a hard one to recruit into.
Yeah, that's why I'd sign him, but he gives you cover both of those areas.
Yeah,
but I still think you need another centre half, basically.
I'm unsure with Vestergaard. I've been one of his biggest fans this season. He's like on the ball, phenomenal. And as Jack says, we did miss him against Watford because he came back in on Tuesday and he had a really good game. It's not so much that I can't get on board that under Enzo he'll be good enough in this system to go back up and do okay. I just worry with the whole scenario about we're in this cycle of having players that we can't get rid of. They're on decent money. And then we're like, okay, well, they're going. And then we're giving the bugger another contract. And then we'll be again in the same situation with him in less than a year's time if he doesn't do well in the Premier League. I'm really torn. If we could get him, and again, this is not easy. He's 31. He's going to be going on a Bosman if he doesn't sign a new deal. He's going to have options with a fairly decent salary. But if we could get him for a year plus one with an option on less than he's on now, I'd do it. But I don't think we will. I genuinely think if we're going to get him, we're going to have to give him a decent contract. And I just think that's too much of a risk.
Who's going to give him a decent contract, though?
Someone in Europe will give him 3 years and they'll probably give him 50 grand a week. On a free transfer, if you buy in like the signing on fee and stuff. So what we'd have to do is because we're, you know, when you re-sign in a player, yes, I suppose you might give them a lump sum. I don't know, but all things being equal, you probably have to bung on that. And then with the wages, I just imagine we'd have to give him 3 years. And if we give it, I mean, in the Premier League, what was he on? I bet he was on 70 or 80 grand, wasn't he?
Something like that, wouldn't he?
So let's say he's had 40% cut this year, but then we're going back up, hopefully. You're not getting him for less than 50 grand. And if you're offering him 3 years, I'm nervous. I really am. So I don't know what to do. It would help if he told us to bollocks and just said, no, you know, I've helped you get back up, but I'm going separate ways and shake hands with him. But yeah, I mean, he's integral to us at this level. Would he be in the Premier League? We'd have to have someone with pace, which then means Fassie doesn't play. So I'm looking at who's more versatile, Fassie's. So then you need to replace Vestergaard, or Vestergaard's then your third choice. I don't know. I'm torn on it.
I'm with you with that, Rick. I think what we have to do is say, this is what we're willing to offer you. And I'd say the same to Vardy, to be honest. These are the terms that the club can offer you at this moment in time for an extra year. Like it or lump it.
Yeah.
Vestergaard will have suitors in Europe, no doubt. I don't think anyone in England would touch him. I'd be surprised anyway. Well, not in the Prem, certainly. And like you say, we've ended up getting this situation that we're in now because of the dishing out of these contracts. We can't afford to do that again. We need to be play a bit more hardball. And if they, you know, if Vardy goes, no one wants to see it, but he goes, well, bless him. If Vestergaard goes, who cares? We'll just get another centre-half in for me.
I think you're right on that. I think there's a comment saying about how we have to reset our wage structure. And I think it's fine renewing them, just not on stupid money and not stitching us up completely, I would say. Yeah, because the danger is if we let everyone go that's out of contract, you're then going to need to sign another 7 or 8 players. Yeah. And we're not going to get all of them on freeze, and we're not going to have loads of money to spend. So
I'd genuinely rather us risk going down again next season, but we've got a plan in place where the wages
are a bit more sustainable, right?
And the signings and everything, it's all a bit more coherent. They're younger, they're on less wages from the off, but you know, you build in, they'll get a pay rise if we succeed rather than you're on X straight off the bat, regardless of what happens. Because it's not easy staying up, but at the same time, you can't kill yourselves trying to stay up and then having no backup plan. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I look at Ben Nelson and his style of play is very Vestergaard-esque. It is, but with pace. Mm. Now, it's hard to envisage a 19, 20-year-old, whatever he's going to be, coming into the Premier League and expecting him. So maybe you think, well, sign Vestergaard for a year or two, but basically Nelson's going to be the one that will take his place if he can't cope. But it's still a bit of a risk. I don't know what to do. I trust Enzo. That's all you can do on the club. I think, and that's probably, we would not have even considered that, would we? You'd never really trust anyone with Vestergaard a year ago. You'd be like, no.
The whole FFP PSR thing is interesting. I don't think anyone outside the club knows what's going on there. But from the outside, to me, it seems the rumours are that we're up against it with EFL regulations, which doesn't surprise me because these players are on European contracts. We were trying to comply with European FFP for God knows what reason. Ended up sliding out the Premier League into the second tier and complying with EFL regulations with European wages is not going to end well. So the Premier League PSR thing, I think we should be okay in the Premier League. We're going to lose Pratt, who will be on quite a lot, possibly Vestergaard, possibly Vardy and others that are on, on big wages. Like you say, Rick, I mean, I think going down in the end could well be the best thing that could have happened because we only got good by signing players for cheap as chips and then ended up flogging them for 50, 60 million. I mean, Hermanson, Mavadidi and Fatawu, what's the combined total we've paid?
Well, Fatawu will end up being about 40 million. Mavadidi and Hermanson, not very much.
About 30 million all told. Yeah. I mean, we'll easily get 90 million for them in the Prem.
What bothers me, though, is, do you know when we're trying to lower the wage bill and we will do that naturally by getting rid of the player, you've still got a lot of players that when we go back into the Premier League, they're going to be back on their Prem wages because that's what happens. They don't just drop down and then they stay on that. Mm. It's very difficult then to be like, well, this is the new normal. So you come to us on 40 grand a week when you know you got the likes of Christiansen, who won't be around potentially, Suter, Samare, even players that are then like important to us like Daka, they're going to be on 80 grand a week. It's difficult, isn't it, to convince players to come when they know that there's players that were on the gravy train. And I think that's the hardest part for us. But we've got to do it. And if we have to walk away from deals because players and their agent are like, no, we want what they're on, we've got to do it because we've been so hamstrung on our deal. You know, it's not even so much that we sign players and we get it wrong and we lumber with them. It's mainly on wages. Yeah, transfer fees are a lot, but if the wages are too high, you got a double whammy, haven't you? For FFP, you need to cover what we've paid less what's been put through the books. But then if no one can cover their wages as well, you basically can't sell them. So we've got to change the model somehow. How we do it, I don't know, but they've got to. And they've paid a hell of a lot of money to do it.
We mentioned before, we've got to be astute in the free transfer market. Yeah. I mean, since he's going to be on a free, but his wages are going to be, you know, whatever Inter are paying him are going to be pretty high. O'Hare, for me, is the one I'd go for on a free and pay him a reasonable weekly wage. I think he'd be interested. He won't have to move house and blah, blah, blah. If covering the Prem, obviously, that's not going to happen. He'd be the one. I think he'd fit our team absolutely perfectly, to be honest. But like you said before, Rick, the free transfer market's where we've probably got to be looking. And
All right, are we moving on to any other business at this stage?
Middlesbrough and AOB.
We've mentioned McAteer. We've not mentioned the chasing pack, Rick, which is normally your sort of paranoia section.
Well, I mean, I'm still concerned. You still can't rule out that there's challenges there. It's changed a little bit, hasn't it, in the last week. Southampton thankfully lost. Tonight they've won. Had they won both, I would be like, shit, they really aren't letting up. But tonight's result's not really a concern because they've shown against Huddersfield that somebody can get at them, and then Bristol City ripped them apart. So, we've got to keep doing what we're doing. But I do still think top two, like 95, 96, 97, 98 points. If we were only scrapping around 95 going into that final game of the season, I think we'll be close to being caught. I don't think that will happen because we're on 78, and we basically need, 17 points from our last 14 games. But yeah, it's just, you can't say it's done because I don't think it is. But no. We've just got to keep chipping away. We've got a tough run of games coming, but nothing like that we can't navigate. We are in a good position and they are the chasing pack. But I mean, next Friday's massive. Obviously, if someone told me you could lose on Friday next week, but you still win the league, you'd obviously take that. But there's part, I mean, it's like, I just cannot cope with us losing to Leeds again. Like, I don't want to hear the second tier podcast. I don't want to read the shit on Twitter. I just want to, like, a draw, whatever, just beat the bastards. Like, we are the top dogs in the championship. We need to show it. We need to serve them up. We do. I don't want to be one of them clubs that like just flat track bullies, beats everyone, but then you've got that reputation against anyone that's half decent that we don't beat them. Beat everyone. Beat them. Hate them. From here to there, hate them.
Well said. Well said. I agree. Jordan, do you want to tell everyone that we'll be fine and we've got nothing to worry about?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm pretty bullish. 25 wins out of 32. Leeds have still going to have played a game more tomorrow, whatever their result. Southampton have lost one game in 27 and they're 11 points behind us still. Best defence, best attack in the league. And looking at the remaining 14, I've got us down to win at least 10, which is the record. So I know we've got a reasonably tough run. Middlesbrough, Leeds, Hull have all beat us. But we'll pick up more than 0 points in those three games, I'd imagine, which will be better than what we got before. I still think promotion, probably, what are we on, 78? I think, yeah, probably 95 to be safe. But we'll tick them off. What's that, six wins, five wins? Six?
Yeah.
Plus, if you beat Leeds, it's probably, it's obviously one less, isn't it? Because it's a six-pointer.
Yeah.
But take a point there, by all means. I think we'll just tick it off in stages, get promoted, next one the title, shove the kids in and get the record. And I think they won it as well, like I say, against Wednesday. Yeah, yeah. I thought they looked like they really wanted it. And I mean, I watched Southampton earlier. They look better than Leeds to me from what I've seen from both teams. I think Southampton have got to go to Elland Road on the last day. Could be done by then.
Southampton have got to go to us, Leeds and Ipswich away.
Well, Ipswich are not out of it, are they? I've written them off, but they're not out of it.
Well, they if they win their game in hand, they're on the same number of points as Leeds.
Mm.
So,
But the good thing is that we've obviously got that 11-point cushion. Those three are in a battle with each other one place.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, what we've got 14 left, the pressure will start telling on them more than it will us.
But every game we win just heaps more pressure on them. So we win tomorrow, it just puts more and more pressure on them. So fingers crossed that happens.
But like I say, once we get over the line, promoted, like one less place, and we'll have sole focus on. We won't be worried about the other three. I don't think we're worried about the other three now, to be honest.
Yeah, the answer to that question, will the next pod be on a Saturday night at midnight with a nappy change included? No, absolutely not. I need to get a bit more. Actually, maybe we'll do a side pod, Rick. Me and you can talk me through changing a nappy. We can go live on Instagram.
We could be like, can you remember that Super Nanny program that was on?
Yeah, yeah.
All the range, we could do that. Rick and Jack.
What would you? I was about to say something rude then, but we've already got one edit on this pod, so I wouldn't say something.
What was it going to be? Give us a clue.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to tell you. There we go. All right.
Middlesbrough.
Any more for any more? Middlesbrough. Yeah, we played tomorrow, don't we? This is a game.
Are you going?
They're not in very good form. I'm going to try and go. Yeah. All been well. I went on Tuesday, so
yeah, you've been very active this week out the house. Yeah, I've got a little tally chart going. How many times you've gone out? You've been out three times in a week.
Mate.
You've got to have your non-negotiables.
Well, I just keep sending. I keep sending Monique articles, being like, it's very good for men's mental health to get out the house and spend time with their friends at least twice a week. I did actually send her an article earlier this week, and she was like, oh, that's funny, isn't it?
Did you take her home a curry? Or was that for
you? Yeah,
you?
That's what I did. That was salt and pepper fish was for her. No, so, yeah, I'm doing
and then
right,
you
mate.
Ate it this morning for breakfast.
I just ordered a large night. Okay. Middlesbrough. What do you want to say about Middlesbrough? They're not in very good form at the moment, Middlesbrough.
No, they're not. And as Jordan says, I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, owing them for early on in the season, because we should have comfortably won that game. Mm. I mean, Ian Acho had one of his games where he missed 2, 3, 4 sitters. I like a little bit of revenge for these next two games, because, yeah. They're a funny team, though, aren't they? Like, I looked at their stats for the last few games. They have like 20 shots and still lose. So something's going on there with them. But yeah, we just got to get it done, whatever happens. Changes wise, I think I'll bring Doyle in for it. I thought Justin, I don't know, there was parts of the game on Tuesday, I felt like we missed Doyle getting it out to Mavididi. I just think with the way Middlesbrough play, and I'm sure they've got a right winger who's quite tall. Is it Crooks or someone, or is he plays in there? But I think I'd have Doyle in for that, and then bring Daka back in.
And Pat, yes. Pat.
But yeah, get it done, and then focus on the big one next Friday.
Yeah.
With it, I just checked, they're 7 points off the playoffs with a game in hand, so they've got to at least show some intent at trying to win the game at some point. No doubt they'll park it for the first.
We played them at like the worst time, and they were on a hell of a run last time we played them, and then they've seemed to have dropped off since then. So
can we let Luke Thomas play? Do you reckon?
No. Yeah, yeah.
If you want to, you can play him.
Yeah, fair enough. I forgot he was there, to be honest.
Yeah,
but Everson's had a horrendous time at Stoke as well. Although they won the other night, didn't they?
They're a bad side, they are.
Yeah, they are bad. They are bad. Right. Any more for any more, or can I go and change some nappies?
AOB then.
Well, that was AOB, wasn't it?
The only thing I will say, no, that was Bright.
That was Middlesbrough. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just looking at my phone. To see if
beans and little sausages
request. Beans and little sausages. Yeah, someone said I forgot to ask Guillaume about whether he's ever had any, which the man likes his, he likes his, you know, he's drinking Tiger, weren't he? I asked him about on what a cheese and pickle cob was, and he said it was a cob. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's had beans and little sausages. The one thing I wanted to say is, I don't know, I think one of the most underrated things that have been going on all year with Leicester on Twitter, and they patiently tag us in it every week, and I don't know how much anyone responds, but LC Graphics has been doing his comic strip, and they're unbelievable, to be fair. They remind me of that famous one who does it in the, is it the Telegraph or Times that does those little whimsical things, but they're amazing. And if we go up, he's doing a whole book of them. So big shout out to LC Graphics. I know he lives near me as well. So yeah, we'll go for a beer when we get promoted. But yeah, shout out to him. And yeah, if people start seeing it on Twitter, retweet it and stuff, because it's pretty incredible what he's doing.
Yeah, love it.
And the TIFO tomorrow from UNFS. Yeah,
that was good.
Note to myself, get in my seat before 3:05.
There was a photo of you actually in your seat when I was standing in your seat, like during the game, which was good. is that your only AOB, George?
I think so.
Well, we've made a donation to that on behalf of the annoying adverts that you have to hear. That's gone towards the TIFO, so there you are. I got a few. We've had a message in from Amy. It was actually last week, and it was last Friday, and we forgot to mention this. But it was her dad's birthday, who listens to the pod and really likes it. He's called John Sparks. He was 69 last week. His nickname is Sheepdog. So happy birthday for last week, Sheepdog. I hope this is a wind up. I've read that about seven times. I don't think that's a wind up.
Yeah, there's nothing smutty in that, I don't reckon.
Nothing smutty in that. But anyway, happy birthday, John, from all of us.
It's Brenda Nout's birthday as well, isn't it?
Yes,
it was. Around this time of year.
I read a great one. Someone called himself Malcolm Powder, and I like that. That's going to be me new.
Malcolm Powder. Who's calling that? Malcolm Powder. that is amazing. I was going to mention, I was going to mention the TIFO, and then there was another thing. I put it up on our time. All I can think of is Malcolm Powder. it's football versus homophobia's month of action this month. We put a tweet up, which is what to do if you hear any kind of abuse at the game, how to report it. It still goes on, sadly, because we had some messages in saying people have still heard it and things like that, I'll retweet that so that people can see it, but it shouldn't happen in this day and age. I think there's a load of stuff going on with Foxes Pride this weekend, with football versus homophobia as well. They've done a feature with the football club, with Mads Hermansson, and one of the women's team's players whose name escapes me, but that was very good as well. So I hope they have a great weekend with all their celebrations as well. So yeah, I think that was it from my point of view.
Good stuff.
Solid work all round.
Thanks very much. I'm just going to play the theme tune and then close it because I'm too tired. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game. See you all soon.
Social Podcast Network.